This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. He joins us on Thursday every week, actually an hour earlier today, and we appreciate the accommodation. Rafi, welcome to the show.
Hey, my pleasure, Neil. How are you? I love the cool weather, huh? Beautiful.
Oh, man, it is gorgeous this morning for sure. Let's jump right into this, Rafi. I know you've been following the numbers as it relates to shootings, gun arrests, and the like. What impact has constitutional carry had with gun enforcement thus far?
Well, so constitutional carry became law in Louisiana on July the 4th. It didn't go into effect in Orleans Parish until August. So since August, you know, one of the most important tools that law enforcement used over the last couple of years to reduce violent crime is concealed carry enforcement. So that tool went away, and I wanted to see what the impact of that tool was. So I asked my staff to run some numbers for me. And what we saw between January and June, there were, on average, 80 gun arrests per month before constitutional carry went into effect. Since constitutional carry went into effect, it's down to 44 gun arrests a month. So what does that mean? Well, we continue to see violent crime decrease. And it's not because the police just wrung their hands and said, you know, we can't do anything about people carrying concealed weapons anymore. What they did was they pivoted from gun enforcement to narcotics enforcement. So I've run the numbers to determine the arrests that have been made so far this year. And one of the tools that was being underutilized, but is being utilized, I think, in response largely to the constitutional carry legislation, is narcotics enforcement. And there's a connection between narcotics, guns, and violence. So the police used to be able to look for the outline of a concealed weapon, and that would give them the predication to go up to a suspect and ask them if they had a permit. If the answer was no, they could begin to make the arrest. And they found out that about 60% of those misdemeanor gun stops evolved into felony weapons arrest. So that tool is gone, but law enforcement just didn't say, well, we can't do anything about it. It's critically important that law enforcement not wait for someone to dial 911. They have to include proactive policing in their repertoire of combating crime in this or any community. So what we've seen is that there were 506 drug charge arrest that uncovered weapons. So 57% of the drug arrests have yielded weapon arrests as well, meaning that the person that they saw distributing drugs or using drugs, they either had a firearm and they were a convicted felon in possession of a firearm, that firearm, and you cannot possess a firearm while you are using drugs. If that firearm is stolen when they make that drug arrest, they can check the firearm to determine if it's been linked to any other unsolved crimes. So what you're seeing is that law enforcement, both the NOPD and LSP, a large part of their proactive strategies now have shifted from strictly gun enforcement to narcotics enforcement. So I checked some stats from the French Quarter, and the French Quarter relied very, very heavily on officers on foot looking at the people on foot in the French Quarter. If they see the outline of the weapon under their clothing, that gave them the justification to go up to them and make those arrests. So a large number of guns were taken off the street in the French Quarter. So in the 8th District, in 2023, there were 381 guns seized between January and December for the year. So far this year, through mid-November, there are 174. So you're seeing gun seizures down by 50%. In the French Quarter. Hmm. So in the French Quarter, what the 8th District is doing is there's a robust camera network in the French Quarter. And the Louisiana State Police and the NOPD both have invested in creating monitoring banks of TVs in their respective headquarters in the French Quarter. Because of the camera network, they can observe the drug deals going down in the French Quarter. When they go out to investigate and make an arrest, a large number of those drug arrests are yielding the recovery of firearms. So, you know, in addition to they have video of the drug transactions going on, they're also finding that 50% in the French Quarter of those narcotics arrests are going to have guns on them. So we're seeing how law enforcement is shifting their policies because of the shift in the law, and they're continuing to, you know, drive down crime across the city. But it's a different, you know, again, there's trade-offs with everything, and what we're seeing is that because of the legislature and changing and allowing constitutional carry, it's forced law enforcement to change their strategies. So far, so good. But, you know, there were several issues and, you know, brought up with respect to the second-line parade shooting, mass shooting, and double homicide on Sunday. And I think Oliver Thomas commented publicly that a number of people in the crowd were supposedly carrying concealed weapons. Now, you cannot carry a concealed weapon along a parade route. But again, I've seen pictures of the crowd and a lot of people there, and there were about 100 officers, but it still didn't prevent that tragedy or those tragedies, two separate, supposedly unrelated instances of a mass shooting along the parade route and then a double homicide along the parade route within 45 minutes of each other. So, again, it's a problem, but law enforcement is working their way through.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That problem.
Well, what you described, though, is actually encouraging, right? I mean, they're nimble. The one constant is they continue to be proactive. And proactive policing is going to yield a multitude of things, right? Whether it be the gun, the drug, or some other violations. To selectively incapacitate impact criminals, what the charge ultimately is, my approach always was, is of no moment. It's just as long as we get that individual off the street. And if they're out there dealing drugs or doing this or doing that, I really didn't care what charges we had on them, as long as we got them off the street and in jail. And that we were able to derive and collect street-level intelligence from these individuals so that we could continue to connect dots out there and utilize that intelligence to help formulate our strategies in multitudes of geographic regions, because these geographic regions present different challenges. The makeup's a little different. Might be loosely connected folks. Some may be a little bit more organized. I don't want to say that they were a gang, but, you know, working together. It's amazing how some stay in a lane of certain violations, criminal violations, and don't deviate from it much. It's hard to believe, but they do. But as long as you're proactive and you're out there, you're going to collect information that's going to reveal a lot of what's the underbelly of whatever piece of geography you're policing. So I think that this is very encouraging to me, that they're nimble.
It is.
And they're still out there beating the bushes, trying to find crimes, right?
And they're not waiting for someone to dial 911. You know, they're using their training. They're using technology to identify felony offenders. And when they observe it, you know, they're using their authority to engage, and they're making significant arrests. And as a result of that, we continue to see crime going down, because the offenders that they're arresting, many of them have extensive criminal histories. When you take those guns out of commerce that are being used by felony offenders and you arrest those felony offenders, it is making crime not just in that location but all over the city, because many of the criminals are looking for opportunities, and one day it may be in the 8th district and the next day it could be in the 7th district. So they're, when they make an arrest, it's making the entire city safer for everybody. And these strategies are in fact working.
You and I remember the day that officers were apologizing for being proactive. And thankfully, that culture and that, you know, ideology is gone, right? I mean, how frustrating was that?
I mean, the byproduct of that is the crime we saw skyrocket, you know, during COVID, 20, 21, 22. It was, and we largely stopped doing proactive policing in 2020. And we didn't return to it to the last quarter of 2022. So 2022 was the high water mark for crime in this city. And in 2023, proactive policing was now an important part of the police department's plan to address crime. And that has continued. Crime came down in 2023. It has come down in 2024. And now the state police are heavily leaning into proactive policing, because they're not the first responders. When people call 911, a state trooper is not being deployed, an NOPD officer is being deployed. The troopers are engaging in proactive policing all over the city, not just the French Quarter. Now, what they're using in other parts of the city is traffic enforcement, traffic stops. And they're not just issuing tickets to make money. They are using traffic stops as a strategy to identify potential felony offenders. So when they see and they know that many of the certain parts of town that the offenders involved are in late model vehicles with tinted windows and are relatively high horsepower cars, they see a traffic violation, they pulled them over. I saw, you know, some stats that were shared with me by the LSP a few weeks ago. They made one day, they made 41 traffic stops, but they only issued 9 citations. The other 33 people that were pulled over for traffic, they let go with a warning because there was nothing else, you know, wrong with that stop. But the 9 citations that they issued were issued to 6 people that were arrested for felony offenses. So those traffic pullovers, they identified that some of those people were wanted. They observed drugs and guns, convicted felon in possession of a firearm, a stolen vehicle. And that was just in the 7th District. So what you're seeing is when they start to do those strategies and the NOPD is doing traffic enforcement in other high crime areas in and around, you know, the city, it is allowing the police to be more effective in continuing their mission to reduce crime. So if you're just letting that traffic offender go, you're missing the opportunity to make a significant arrest. And if all it is someone with a broken taillight, they let them go with a warning. They're not trying to make money off of this deal. They're trying to use their skills and their training to identify felony offenders. And if they don't find a felony offender, they're usually going to let them go with a warning.
Yeah. You mentioned the pandemic years, and we were, I guess, fortunate to an extent where some people really wanted to get to a deeper place, that we really didn't binge drink this defund the police Kool-Aid, you know, that was running across this country. We probably swallowed about half the glass, and then we realized, you know, hold the horses, this may not be what we want to do, right?
Right, right. I mean, we're still, you know, because of the pandemic, you know, and because of the George Floyd, you know, movement, you saw a lot of people leave law enforcement. And because of the pandemic, it was tough to recruit people. Because of George Floyd and, you know, the national backlash, a lot of people that may have considered being police didn't want to be the police at that point in time. We're still struggling with those numbers. I mean, right now as we speak, you know, on paper, there were a little bit south of 900 officers. In reality, that says that we're probably closer to 800 than we are to 900, because at any given time you've got about 100 people that in that force that are either running out their time, they're on military
vacation,
duty,
sick leave,
or whatever. So, you know, how is the police department with 800 officers able to bring down crime the way they have the past 2 years? And it's because of proactive policing. They're being a lot more strategic and precise and following the data, following the intelligence, and being selective in how they use their resources. And, you know, just look at the inmate population in, you know, parish prison, the OJC. You're looking at 1,540-some-odd pretrial inmates right now. 66% of them are in there for felony crimes of violence or felony weapon offenses. And the third that are in there for property and drugs have extensive criminal records as well, so including crimes of violence in their criminal histories. So the fact that we have 1,544 people off the streets is a testament to the good work that's being done by the NOPD and the Louisiana State Police, and the support that those two agencies are receiving from the District Attorney's Office in New Orleans and the Attorney General's Office for the state of Louisiana as well.
No doubt. Got to get to a break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.